only time in the Gospel of Mark, and also in the Gospel of Matthew, and in the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke and Matthew, we actually have these narratives, these infancy narratives that are a little different. It's the only time there is a story in the Gospel about somebody that is not Jesus, or that Jesus is not connected to. I mean, Jesus will become connected to this Herod person later on, and we'll talk about that just a little bit. But we have a story, it's not about Jesus, and Jesus is not a character name. There's a story you might say about John the Baptist, but the truth is, John the Baptist is not a character in it. In fact, he doesn't make a living appearance in the story. Only part of his body makes an appearance later on. That should be the thing that you want to ask yourself. Not why are people who are rich so, you know, gruesome and use their power in weird ways. That should not surprise. What should surprise is why, in a story about Jesus, is there a scene that's not about Jesus? It's not about one of Jesus' disciples. It's not even the way it's connected to Jesus' disciples or his family. And then, if you are not shocked enough by that, I'm trying to do the research, maybe this is my next big book. I think in all of Holy Scripture, this is the only time that we have a story that is told in flashback. There is no other story, and I searched this week, and I didn't read the whole Bible this week. I tried, but I just couldn't get through it. Sometimes I get bogged down in places, you know. It just, you know, some of it's not a great reading. But I cannot find another place where the technique of a flashback is used. Now, there are places, especially in the Old Testament, where report is used, where someone shows up, and they actually verbatim tell you what just happened. But they're reporting something. There's no reporter. It's not like somebody showed up to Jesus' disciples and said, "Let me tell you what happened to John the Baptist." The story from beginning to end takes place with Herod as the main character. And it is told in flashback with dialogue in it. It's not just a report. It's a totally different scene in a totally different area, told about a totally different person. And I think we want to figure out what it's doing in the Gospel. The question is, why are we have a bloody story in the Gospel? In fact, all the Gospels are going to end with a bloody story. This might just be the foreshadowing of that. That's a sermon for another day. But why do we have a story that is told in flashback from another character's point of view? And why is that important to revealing who Jesus is? But to do that, we need to know something about Herod. Now, in Mark, we only get Herod the king, which could be confusing if you've read the other Gospels, because we all know this story, or many of us remember this story, and you might have heard it in Sunday school when we taught the worst stories in Sunday school, but you do hear it in pageants every year, and right around the Feast of the Epiphany, we have this Feast Day of the Holy Innocents. We have somebody in that story called Herod as well, who is also a king. And that's the way Mark introduces this character, but it's not the same person. Herod, that king, was the father of this person. And Herod, that king, was really successful, and he was really rich, and he made lots of great decisions in his life that made him so powerful. He was a shrewd person. This Herod today is one of his three sons that he divides, kind of, and it's not really a kingdom. They're really puppet, you know, rulers that are set up by their occupying nation of Rome that is there. They don't really have power. They're just there to kind of make sure they keep the peace. And if something goes wrong in that region, they get rid of that ruler and put a new one in. In fact, this Herod that we read about today, later on in his life, Rome will come and remove him and put him in exile because he cannot keep people under control. In this place, he's not a good ruler. But his dad was. And his dad made a lot of money. This Herod, this one of his sons, his dad couldn't figure out who he was leaving his like realm to. In fact, dad had six wills. And in fact, when he died, there is so But it's not unseemly when you think about this. It's not unseemly when you think about the people that have been born into power and born into a place where they did not work for themselves, might not know how to act right. I mean, history is full of this. This is some kind of new phenomenon. And so we get in the story like somebody who is living the life of wealth, the life of kind of a real weird power, where they've been set up as a figurehead ruler, and they have this army from another place that comes in and helps them to enforce the things that they need to enforce. Of course, this is what they do. They throw parties. And when they throw parties, you know what happens? People get drunk. You know what happens? People dance without a lot of clothes on. This is what happens when you've got lots of money, but you've got no, you know, real thought about like how you got it or how it works or if you're responsible for it. You just act in a way that just is to save face at all times. Which is what Herod does. Herod gets drunk at a party where people are enjoying flesh and food and drink. And he makes an oath that he ends up finally having to keep because in that party of flesh and food, he needs to save face. That's not surprising. That is what people who are untethered to morality do. That is what people who feel that their biggest goal is just to live a life of excess do. The gospel story is not putting something in here to shock us by its content, or even to give us some gruesome costume that we can wear on All Hallows Eve because you need to have something bloody to wear. I think the gospel writer is saying, if you have forgotten what the kingdoms of this world look like, let me go back to the curtain and remind you. Because at this point, you could think that everything is going to turn around and get better. In fact, when we left the gospel writer last week, which is a direct connection to the start of this week's story, Jesus' disciples have gone out and they are healing people, they're casting out demons, they're anointing people. It looks as
how much more will the table
Amen.